I don't know what's going to happen this morning. I've been sitting in my office crying. All the years I preached, I've never sat in my office and just cried. My wife came in and said, "What's going on?" "Don't know. But I know something good's going to happen." I don't get up just to preach a message or a sermon. I hate the word sermon because that kind of cuts you off. I like the word message because God gives us messages in our heart. There's so much he's given me, and I'm just going to kind of take one step at a time. Fair enough? As I was sitting in my office, the Holy Spirit said to look up Azusa Street. I'm like, "Well, I'm not talking about Azusa Street." He said, "Well, now you are." See, I realized something after all the years of ministry, that when God says to do something by faith, you do it then. You don't take the faith and put it away and use it later. Faith is right now. Sometimes we're afraid because we don't know where it's going to lead us, or we don't know the outcome of it. And can I tell you the answer to that? It's none of our business. God's looking for men and women of faith who will do what he says when he says to do it. So let me just start with this verse, can I? You don't have to turn there. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And that's about it, friends. This is from the Amplified Version. "I don't mind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry, so here it goes." That's my heart today, so here it goes. We're not going to change what we've been doing. We're going to keep on doing it and keep on saying it, because there's a world out there that is lost and dying and on its way to hell. And it needs the church to stand up and say what it should have been saying right along. There's the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. Say, "Jesus Christ." I told you that this year the Holy Spirit said to me, this year was the year of the Holy Spirit. Say, "The Holy Spirit." It's also a year of priorities. It's time that Harvest Church and those listening around the globe take and do what the Word is saying. It's time to take action. No more church as usual, and no more church as usual in our hearts. All I do every Sunday morning is give you a meal. I warm your belly up, your spiritual belly, with the Word. But it's got to go deeper than that. Say, "Deeper than that." This precious book called the Word of God is life. Say, "It's life." We know that in the blood itself, in the natural, it gives life to the entire body. Well, the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary still is in Golgotha's Hill somewhere. And because of his shed blood, you and I are free today. Say, "We're free." The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Another thing the Lord said to me about this coming year, 2020, was simply that it's a year of his presence. God wants to take us back to the experience that he had with Adam and Eve. Every day, it was an expectation of God coming in and talking one-on-one with them. I have an excitement that got pregnant with another excitement. Can I say that? A lot of pregnancies real quick. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But there's an expectancy in my spirit. Listen, say an expectancy. Expectancy. About being in his presence. I have an expectancy about being in his presence. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, 23 and 24. See, this goes along with what I said. I'm going to repeat this again. Hope you don't mind. But it says like this. Let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope. Say, hope. Remember I gave you a definition last week of hope? It's joyful expectancy. Say, joyful expectancy. Through the difficulties of life. How many of you and I face difficulties in life? All of us go through different things. Am I correct? I look at George, my friend, for years and years. How many years have we known each other, George? About 30. I didn't know I was that old, but thank you very much. I appreciate that. But you recently lost your wife. The journey has been difficult since that's happened. But God has sustained you, and he will continue to sustain you. And your life will be like a beacon of light to those on top of that hill who will see, "George, boy, how are you doing so well?" There's only one answer. His name is Jesus. Can I tell you all about it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know that we'll ever see another Billy Graham. This is me talking to you. He was for a certain time in history. But can I ask you, can I tell you something? There are Billy Graham sitting throughout this auditorium right now who in everyday life have the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with others. I'm telling you, say, I'm the next Billy Graham. Say, I'm the next Billy Graham. But what if I'm a woman? You're the next Billy Graham anyway. God's not a respecter of persons. Amen? If you're a man or a woman, God's going to use you supernaturally. I have a hunger like never before. Say, I have a hunger like never before to tell people about Jesus. I make people talk, even when they don't want to talk, even when they're rude back. I will always squeeze something out of them they didn't know they had on the inside of them. Why? They need to know about Jesus Christ. I saw a guy, I went to a basketball game last night, and there's a guy leaning against the wall. And I said, hey, how you doing? Happy New Year. And he said, well, Happy New Year. I said, you look like a preacher. He said, I am. See, I knew what he was, didn't know him. And he said, I know who you are. And he told me who I was. I said, yeah, we are. And we conversed back and forth. I'm not going to let anybody get away leaning against the wall or coming out of the men's room. Hello. I'm not going near the ladies' room. You understand that now? I'm not going to let anybody get by me without me saying something to them that's kind. Say, the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of kindness and in acts of good work. Amen? I want to give you, if you don't mind, a couple of definitions of hope. Fair enough? Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, and now there remains faith, which means abiding trust in God, and his promises. Say his promises. How many of you know that every promise God has given us in the Word has already been fulfilled? Say, it's already been fulfilled. Say it again, it's already been fulfilled. Here's the word now, hope, confident expectation. Say confident expectation. Say it again, confident. His love for others growing out of God's love for me. These three choice things. Say hope. Hope is expectancy. What keeps me going from day to day is the expectancy of God's word to be fulfilled in my life on a daily basis. I suggested this last week. I'm going to suggest it again. I don't know what your schedules are. Everybody's schedule is different. Everybody used to not work on Sundays, and Sunday was the day everybody went to church. That was before football. We rush home for football, but we won't get out of bed on a Sunday morning to go to the house of God or whatever day you go. I grew up, Sunday was when we were in the house of God. That was the priority. Say priority. See, I'm talking about priorities in a couple minutes. You understand that now? We have to have priorities in our life on a daily basis. Say priorities. Expectancy. Say expectancy. When I have devotions with my wife, because our schedules usually are the same, I will sit down with her and have communion. I didn't bring one, but next week I will. We have these little communion cups that they're already made, little grape juice in there with a little tab on the top with some bread in it. Amen. And we take communion every single day. I'd advise you to take a peek at that. If you're single, if you're widowed, if you're married, whatever the case may be, we do that diligently every single morning. We take communion together. Say communion together. Communion. And then we say three things I can say that God has blessed me with. Three things every single day. Say every single day. Well, isn't that being religious? No, my Bible's not religious. My Bible's full of hope and expectancy. But when I tell God how great he is, when I tell he already knows that, don't you know that? I tell him how great he is in my life. And then I'm expecting something supernatural to happen today, not only in my life, but anybody's life I come across. I'm on the hunt. I'm on the hunt for the lost and dying. I'm on the hunt for souls. I'm telling you right now, I remember Rodney Howard Brown so many years ago. His daughter had, what did she have, a cystic fibrosis? She died, I think, 19 years old. He called me on a Christmas morning. He says, my daughter just died. We spent like an hour or more on the phone. He just talked and talked. And he said, her life is not going to be in vain. She won more people for Christ in that condition than most people do when they're healthy and well. Remember, she came up our driveway that day. What was she saying out of her mouth? The devil's under my feet. And she could barely breathe. Hello, somebody help me out. He said, her life will not be in vain unless the seed falls into the ground and dies. He said, I'm going to win countless hundreds of thousands of people in the name of my daughter in Jesus' name, because she was a great soul winner. He's still doing that today, goes around the globe telling people all about Jesus. By the thousands, people are getting saved. Say they're getting saved. Yeah. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it cannot do what? Cannot reproduce. Amen? Here's another thing about hope. Hope is what causes you and I to remain steadfast and firm and unchangeable. Why unchangeable? Because Jesus Christ doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, say yesterday, today, and forever. Some of you can't go on the way you're going on. Some of you cannot continue the way you are. You're in a season of drought because this is not the priority in your life. It's not about what you think, what's a good idea. If it's not a God idea, it's not a good idea. Some of you are so tired, not physically, but you're so tired spiritually that you want to just sit down and die. There's hope. There's joyful expectancy. And the enemy will do anything and everything he can to keep you and I from this book. The Bible says it's alive. It's living word. Say it's alive. Every great man of, whatever we're going to call him, who has led some kind of a move in what this God is and a great leader here, every one of them is dead. You can go to the tomb. My leader, Jesus Christ, there's an empty tomb somewhere. He rose from the dead, and the Bible says that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. How do you go around with your head down and your spiritual man dying when the same presence of God that raised Jesus from the dead, I just gave you a clue. From the dead. I said, from the dead. I can see some of you sitting in the morning at your coffee, putting your head like this and saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can tell you exactly what you're going to do. You're going to lift your hands up, push your coffee cup away, and start praising him for life on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. A good friend of mine passed away 5 years ago, Bob Johnson. I've seen Judy Johnson holding her head up high, going into an empty house with her little dog. I can't take that dog. I'm sorry. She never walks around with a frown on her face. Because I miss Bob, I can't imagine how much she misses him. But she found out she has another husband. His name is Jesus. She found out he truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, if she can do it, you and I can do it. I've never seen her put her head down and say, oh, woe is me. She never, ever, ever, because there's something on the inside of her called Jesus that raised the dead and it gives her life. Oh, my God, have mercy. I'm just going to be straight out what the Holy Ghost tells me, all right? God's tired of some of our pity parties. Some of us have practiced in front of the mirror, patting ourselves on the back. Oh, it'll be all right. Take your arm and start praising God right where you are. I said, start praising God right where you are. I said, you raise your hand, start praising God right where you are. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. I had a friend of mine, I taught a good friend for 40 years, and he says, I'm all stressed out. I said, shut your mouth. Are you a believer still going, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, don't ever let that word come out of your mouth again. Because if that precedes what's in your heart, then you're going to be stressed out. And the enemy hears that call, say, hey, we got one of them stressed out believers again. You know how you get stressed out? Get away from the word. 2 weeks ago, instead of being in this pulpit, I told you, I was in the urgent care. Talk about quitting and giving up. Listening to what people had to say about me. But guess what? The whole time I was speaking in tongues. Praising God and worshiping God. What did you say? I said, and I start speaking in tongues. They thought I was hallucinating. No, I wasn't hallucinating. I was just talking to God Almighty. I'm standing here today, am I not? I was here last week, was I not? And I'll be here next week and the week after. Because I know the enemy hates me. If I would shut my mouth and retire and just go live on some beach somewhere with an umbrella and a little lemonade, he'd be very happy. Shut your mouth. That's not happening. That's not happening. Because if I have breath in my being, you're going to hear me say something about Jesus. People around the globe are turning this message in however they choose to choose it. My God, have mercy. You want to hear something funny? Did you tell them that two people last week said to you, I saw you on television? We haven't been on television in 2 years. They saw her on television. How can you see her when she's not on? I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is moving. He's moving at Harvest Church. and he's going to move across the state of New York. And don't listen to me now. Don't go by what you're hearing. There's something going on underneath the surface. A supernatural move of God. The word 20, remember 2020? The word 20 symbolizes the cycles of completion. Say cycles of completion. It's connected to a perfect period of waiting. That's where I got the message I'm going to be teaching over the next few weeks or whatever about his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. Let me ask an honest question. Is that all right? Do things try to keep you from the word? What are you doing about it? See, the job of the enemy is to keep you from this. I never preach a message on Mark 4, but I think I'm going to do it. Mark 4 says, some seed fell upon hard ground. And immediately, if the enemy was in a diner eating and having coffee and breakfast, he'd get up and go because the seed fell. He comes immediately to steal. Can I say it this way? Two ways. The seed, and I'll show it to you in Matthew, Mark's gospel. The seed, Jesus said, represents the word. But can I back it up? The seed represents expectancy. He steals it. Not when it falls on good ground where it can grow, but in a place where it cannot grow, it cannot at all sprout anything. Why? Because he knows if the wind of the Spirit takes that seed and blows it somewhere else, the expectancy of that seed is going to grow. How many of you remember at a certain time of the year, dandelions come up? And you do all you can to keep them off your lawn. But your neighbor doesn't know that. And all these little parachutes come over. And I used to have a neighbor years ago that he'd rake his lawn, and if another leaf came down, listen, he'd wait till it fell and picked it up. I said, I'll never live like that. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. The wind of the Spirit, I said, is blowing. And if we have the seed on the inside of us, we will see a supernatural, hello, say a supernatural harvest coming your way and my way. What keeps you from the word? Somebody yell something back at me. I did this before, and I'm going to do it again. What keeps you from the word? Help me out. Work. Do you have to work? Yes. But you need to set priorities so work has a place. Your family has a place. Everything has a place. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first. See, there's the key. If we seek first, he will order everything else. So work can't be an excuse. Well, I'm working a double shift. I don't care if you're working triple shifts. I've worked double and triple shifts. I always found time for the word. My parents taught me that. My wife always found time for the word. My wife had parents that were godly. You understand what I'm saying to you? We have a godly heritage. And I know in my children and in their children, the same thing is going on right now. Listen, I'm still working on this thing. You know I'm 39, so I'm still working on it after 39. I'm still working on it. Every day I work on it because I don't want to let go. I don't want to let anything get in the way of the Word of God being the priority in my life. I said the priority in my life, the priority. Give me something else that keeps you from the Word. Electronics. Too much of that stuff. Is there anything wrong with them? No. But when things crowd out the Word of God, there's a spiritual problem. If anything squeezes out the Word, there's trouble. The Bible says in Romans that sense and reason without the Holy Ghost is death. So if we know that's a problem, what do? I'm going to give so much time to that. Anything wrong with that? I know my grandson plays these games, and I'm still on Pong. Remember Pong? Boom. Boom. And I couldn't play that game either. Then came like Pac-Man, Mrs. Pac-Man, and Grandfather Pac-Man. I have no idea. Then came Dig Dug. You don't even remember that. You're not old enough. Then there's pool. Some of you aren't old enough to remember. You remember the dial telephone? Do you remember the phone booths where Superman would change his clothes? I never asked how he could change his clothes squatting down. There's no room down there. Today, there'd be no Superman. I'd be lost without Superman. I'd have no cape without Superman. Every generation's things change. You understand that? What else is keeping you from the word? Yell it out at me. What's that? Distractions. See, that's in Mark 4, and I'm going to read that in a few minutes. Thank you for helping me preach. Give me another one. Sports. We got to have our sports. Anything wrong with sports? But when it becomes the leader in our life and pushes down the word, our spiritual man is not being fed. Who can tell me 10 years ago who won this? Who can tell me 5 years ago who won this? It's gone. It's clear. We don't remember that because we're always striving for who's going to be the next champion. I'm telling you, I already know who the champion is. His name is Jesus Christ. And I've got to feed my spirit man every day. If not, my spirit man could go anorexic because there's a hunger for this book called the Living Word of God. Last week, I did a service for Ivy. Remember Ivy? She passed away. And they had no pictures of family or anything. There was just one picture of Ivy sitting in a chair with her Bible opened up reading it. That was Ivy. That was my mother-in-law's room, her bedroom. Bible always open. That was Aunt Marge. Bible always open because they were in there praying. They were asking God, how do I do this? And the next step here, my wife came from a poor family. My family did not have much, but we never knew that because we had godly parents who would pray and ask God to supply all of our needs according to... Give me another one. Procrastination. That's called the flesh. Give me another one. Oh, the good old news. Some of you have probably heard in the last couple days, we could be on the brink of nuclear war. If I listen to that and entertain that over the word of God, I'm in big trouble. We'll stay glued to that information, waiting to see what happens. Years ago, there was all kinds of riots in California. Things were being burned up. I literally stayed up all night to see what was coming next. I was good for nothing the next day. But if I had stayed all up all night in the presence of God, I would have gained much more. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's not about how long you spend in the Word. It's that the priority is God is first in my life. God is first in my life. Say, God is first in my life. I heard somebody just say this. But I'm not a preacher like you. Peter was a fisherman. What school did he go to? The same school that Adam went to, the school of revelation. How did Adam, never went to college, had no degrees hanging wherever he was living on a leaf somewhere. God said, Adam, you name all the animals. What's going to qualify you and me is the school of the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost who wants to teach us and train us in the things of God. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My God, I don't know what I should do here. When I was sitting in my office, the Lord began to speak to me about the Ark of the Covenant. Israel never moved until the pillar moved. And when it moved, they went one way, the Bible says, forward. I'm not going to move until the Spirit of God tells me to move. I've been waiting on God for an answer for a long time. Did he give you something to do? And if he hasn't given you something else, keep doing what you're doing and doing it to the best of your ability. God told me to pastor a New Testament church, and that's what I'm doing. But wouldn't you like to be doing something else? What I like and what he's telling me to do are two different things. Opportunities have come and gone in my life. Great opportunities, good money and everything else that goes with it, but I would not trade the call of God on my life or my wife's life for anything in this world. How many remember what some preacher told me, and I still live on it today? Can I repeat that again? Sure I can. Here's what he said, his first and opening statement in Philadelphia. He was at a teen challenge. Bob Bartlett was his name. He's still alive out in the Midwest somewhere. If God calls you, say this out loud, God calls you into the ministry. Many times I have people come to me and say, Pastor, I feel a call of God on my life for the ministry. I says, you're already in it. Well, what do you mean? Are you a born-again, spirit-filled believer? Jesus on the inside of you? Did he give you the great commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel? Then I don't have to ordain you or lay hands on you. You're already a minister of the gospel. No, I mean about having a church. Listen to me, and listen to me again. You cannot stand in the shoes of this woman and in the shoes of this man unless somebody calls you to do it, and his name is God. I can name people that I've known over the years, pastors, good pastors. God never called them to be pastors. They were Joshua's to a Moses. But they wanted to go ahead of the Moses. Then everything falls apart. It starts usually with their family. Their kids go into rebellion. Their wife has to leave because the man of God behind the pulpit is not living the same thing. Say, I'm already a minister of the gospel. Raise your right hand. I'm a minister of the gospel. I already am. What qualifies you? Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God qualify. Say, I'm qualified. I've heard so many people say over the years, God's called me to this place. Okay, we appreciate you being here. Come back 6 months later, God didn't call me. I said, I knew that. Why didn't you tell me? You said you knew. I know you belong here. I could say that of lots of people. People have left this church, started other churches. People went here and started this. God never called them to do it. If somebody says to me, it's happened so many times, Pastor, God's called me to do this. As long as it's God, go ahead. Well, aren't you going to stop me? Why should I stop you? If God called you to marry a certain person, I'm not going to tell you it's the wrong person to marry. That's what you said, so go ahead. Why'd you let me marry that person? I did not do it. Say like this, I'm free, pastor's free. This man said, if God calls you into the ministry, say, I'm already called. Don't settle to be a king or a president. What's higher than having a call of God on your life to tell people about Jesus? Nothing. Say nothing. I have great doctors that work with me. I know doctors. And they can help us here on earth, help our body heal. God's blessed them with talents. We deal with that in this realm of the spirit, but also we're preparing people for the eternity. Say eternity. Say, God's called me, raise your hand, to be a minister of the gospel. Brother Ted used to go out into the vegetable patch and preach to all the vegetables. Mr. Tomato, you're getting saved today. Mr. Cucumber, you belong to Jesus. Well, how foolish is that? Does he look foolish today? Because he was practicing the practicing preaching in the garden? What better place to do it? Listen to me. The Ark of the Covenant, there's three things I want to tell you quickly. Can I do that? What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments. Holy Spirit said this to me, was in my office. He said the Ten Commandments represent the Word. Then there's something called the pot of manna. That's God's promises. How long did God feed Israel? 40 years, except what day? The Sabbath, because he made sure there was enough left over from one day to the next. And what if they tried to save something God told them not to? It would rot. They complained about manna. The word manna means, what is this? Did you ever eat spaghetti meatballs every day? If I did, I wouldn't say, what is this? I said, give me some more. You understand that? Manna means, what is it? And the third thing was Aaron's rod. And the Lord said to me, Aaron's rod equals authority. When the ark moved, they moved. We have the Word of God on the inside of us. We have, listen to me, we have the Word of God on the inside of us. Say, I've got it. And I'm hungry for more of it. I can't give you the hunger you need for spiritual things. And then there's food, because the manna represents spiritual food on a daily basis. The Bible says, eat the Word. When I did the celebration for Ivy, there was nobody in that coffin. It was just what she was wearing, because her spirit that gave her life is in the presence of God. I'm going to see her again. I'm going to see her again. She was great friends with my mother-in-law, and I could just see them gathering each other and hugging and talking. How's it going down there in planet Earth? And I could see Ivy saying, your daughter is doing well. How about my son-in-law? Your daughter's doing well. Can I talk to you about Azusa Street before the Holy Ghost does what he wants to do? I encourage you to look up Azusa Street. There was so much, I just jotted down a few things. The size of the room was 40 by 60. Each one of these columns, see those columns? 20 feet. That means that column right there with the speaker, see it over there? That's 40 feet. This room is 80 feet. Their room was 60 feet. Holy Ghost broke out. There was no stained glass windows. There was no steeple with bells on it. There were no padded pews or seats. No air conditioning, no heat. But just the room, 40 by 60, that a black man, Mr. Seymour, with one eye blind from having smallpox, went into that room and started praying. He'd have two crates, one piled on top of the other, and he'd stick his head in one of the crate on the top. And people would always hear him saying, repent, repent, repent. People came by the hundreds of thousands. They couldn't get in the place because how many people could you put? I could fit 1,000 people in this place by law. How could you fit thousands of people, guess where, into a building that's 40 by 60, made out of wood? Are you hearing me today? Say, Mr. Seymour, heard from God. 1909 was the year. Can I tell you a couple more things? There were no instruments of music. None. We have a great worship team. Some of our worship team isn't here, and they filled in so beautifully. Say, no instruments. They weren't needed. I just want to put on my favorite worship so I could talk to the Lord. Leave it off. Why do we need something to stimulate us when the Holy Ghost should be stimulating us? See, we've kind of gotten spoiled. We've got these crutches. Can't wait to get to the house of God so we can worship together. No, worship to God in your car. Worship Him at home. Let your house be a sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. No choir. A choir doesn't stir the Spirit of God up. The Spirit of God doesn't need anything to stir it up. What it needs is a born-again, Spirit-filled believer who has a heart that is ready to receive the seed of God's Word. And I'll tell you what, my hands go up like this. Say, glory, 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 glory. I just start worshiping God. Hallelujah. I hear sometimes music in other cars that's so loud, my car starts rattling. And there go bebopping. So I figured I'd try to lift my hands and start praising God. People look at me like I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm in love with Jesus. Amen. My wife and I still hold hands after 39 years. You know why? Because I love her. We're inseparable. I love doing things with her. Amen. There was no choir. But many times the Spirit-filled people that gathered in that room would say they heard a choir of angels because they heard singing, but yet there was no choir to sing. Glory to God. Oh my. Can I tell you a little something else? We all have angels that God's given to us. We had a call on them more than once a day. The Bible says they came and ministered to Jesus in the wilderness after the enemy left. Can I give you another one? They didn't take any offerings up. How are we going to sustain this? He will supply all your needs according to His riches. Years ago, the evangelist was a missionary. Never forget the story. The Lord spoke to him and said, do not collect an offering. Big tent meeting. I think it was like 100,000 people. Do not collect an offering. And he said, well, how am I going to do that? I got to pay for everything that's going on. Do not collect an offering. At the end of the service, listen to me, some of the pastors came up and said, you forgot to collect the offering. He said, the Holy Spirit told me not to. At the conclusion of the service, listen, a group of men came up. They were witch doctors. And they said, we were praying and we were instructed to come to the meeting and we had people in the crowd, listen now, that as soon as you collected the offering, we would attack and kill people. And the witch doctor, the head witch doctor said, why didn't you collect an offering? All the Americans collect an offering. He said, because my God, the living God, told me not to. He would supply my needs. Every one of those witch doctors and people knelt down and got saved that night and filled with the Holy Ghost. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Lord, help me over here now. Who is it we went to see her? My God. She's like about 80 years old now. Marilyn Hickey. had rented out an arena for like 20,000 people. In two meetings or three meetings, she had like 200 or 300 people. And she said, God, how am I going to pay for this? There's no money. That's not true. Say, that's not true. Say, God has enough to share. She got on the elevator going back to her room and say, well, I just have to believe you, God. A woman gets on the elevator and said, are you Marilyn Hickey? Asked her how much the services were costing. And she told her, she said, I'm writing a check out for the whole amount, taking care of it for you. They didn't collect offerings. They did not advertise. There was no internet. There was no paying somebody. There were no posters put up. There was no advertisement. What was the advertisement? The Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost. Number of years ago in China, where the gospel's not free to go, in the middle of winter, they would gather together and baptize people, cut a hole in the ice, because they knew the guards would not be out looking for them. But they didn't advertise. People would gather by the hundreds at a certain location that they could only know by the Holy Ghost. What's too big for God? Nothing. He can do anything and everything. My God, have mercy. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? It's not just enough to come to church and have a meal prepared for us. God is looking for us on a daily basis to get in His presence so He can meet one-on-one with us and share His heart. Glory. I said glory. What are we waiting for? There was not one organization that was behind them. Sometimes you hear people say, what organization are you under? I always tell them the same thing, the organization of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen to this last statement. I wrote it down verbatim. This is Harvest Church. All who are in touch with God realize as soon as they enter the meeting hall that the Holy Ghost is the leader. When you enter this place, there's not this pastor in charge. There's not that pastor in charge. There's not the worship team in charge. But as the Holy Ghost moves on somebody, and listen to me now, they had church 24/7, 9 years of 24/7 church. People would come and minister the word and then sit down. People would get healed, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because a one-eyed black man who people laughed at said, where is your education? Here it is. What gives you the right to do what you're doing? Here it is. Do you know Jesus? Yes, I do. But how could you have anything on the wall that's hanging said, you're ordained? Or can I tell you something about ordination? Ordination is simply man seeing there's a call of God on your life. I got them in my office. I've got an honorary doctorate. I've got ordination all over the place. None of that means anything, because if God does not have a touch of God on my life with the Holy Ghost, it's a bunch of, I can burn them and make a nice fire. They look nice, but they don't say who I am. Say who I am. Say who I am. Say who I am. I don't want to disappoint anybody here, but go to Mark 4. Harvest Church will be known as a house of healing, house of deliverance, house of salvation, a house where something is going on. Something's going on. I said something's going on. From the time people drive their car onto this lot, from the time they walk into this building, there's going to be people that love God so much, they're going to see people saved and healed and delivered even before they get into the sanctuary, and one note is ever played on an instrument. I'm positioned for the starting gun. Say, get on the starting blocks and get ready, because the starting gun is up. Go to Mark 4 and then we'll end. Fair enough? Say Mark 4. Well, why Mark 4? Because I feel like going to Mark 4. I'm here for your protection. I'm here to direct and guide you. Mark 4. Look at verse 11 of Mark 4, and then we'll go to a couple more. And he said to them, to you it has been entrusted the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus said, I came to do what? Bring the kingdom of God. That's his lordship to planet Earth. That is the secret counsels of God which are hidden from the ungodly. See, the world can't understand this stuff. The world cannot understand this stuff. Let me try that again. The world, with all its babble, cannot understand the things of God. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. I'm listening to all these people. Well, this will happen this year, and it didn't happen. That's because you don't know the Word. You know who's in control? God is, not any man. I'll leave that one there for a while. But for those outside of us, our circle, everything becomes a parable. Verse 12. In order that they may indeed look and look, but not see and perceive. There are believers in the church who look, hear the word, but never perceive the word of God. They don't take the seed and put it in their hearts. Because the ground is not ready to receive. And they hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend it. If you're at Harvest Church, you're going to grasp and comprehend it. The Holy Ghost isn't going to let you go. If all you want to do is pay your religious obligations to God, find another church. I'm not about religion. I'm not about paying homage to anybody. I'm about the Holy Ghost breaking out in your life and my life and changing us. Say, changing us. Lest haply they should turn again and they willfully reject the truth. What's it about? If you reject the word, you reject the truth. Hang on. This is verse 13. And he said to them, do not discern, do you not understand and understand this parable? Listen to what he says. How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? Every parable that Jesus spoke could not be understood unless you understand this one. What's this one about? The word. How come God's not moving in my life? Where's your Bible? Unfortunately, I sit in my office. I know we have electronic Bibles. That's fine. People come in with no Bibles or I left at home. The word of God is like your arms and your legs. We've got to have them for our spiritual man. Say our spiritual man. Listen now. Don't you discern and understand this parable? How the other parable is ever going to be understood? Listen to what verse 14 says. The sower sows the word. Mark 4 is saying this. The seed is the word. Say the seed is the word. That means I got a pocket full of seeds looking for a place to go. Well, how do I get the seed out? I open my mouth and say what God's word says. Every day. How often? Every single day. Say every single day. I anoint myself with oil. My wife anoints herself. We anoint each other. Why? Because the anointing, my God, is supernatural blessing of God on your life. Can we do real quick and we'll go home? Fair enough? The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once. How quickly does he come? I have sown the word into your heart. At once our response should be, I'm taking this word and I'm going to plant it in my heart. If the enemy takes the word and steals it, he's not getting his hands on the word that God's given to me. I said he's not getting his hands on the word. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Now listen, my God. Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. By force. Listen to the next verse. Wow. The same way the ones sown among the stony ground are those who hear the word, say, hear the word, at once receive it, accept and welcome it with joy. And then they have no real root in themselves. If a seed has no root, it won't grow. How do you get root in you? Find a place of worship. I just don't go to church. I have it on my own. The Bible says don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. You're here because the word says so. I said you're here because the word says so. How many of you know there's unity when you sit down next to another believer? You hear him talking about God, raising the... Say, we need this. Say again, we need this. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need this. We need it. And so they endure for a little while. Have you ever said to yourself, gee, I haven't seen such and such. Where are they? Because the word does not endure to put a root system down. Well, you know, we were there for an hour and a half. Started 9:30. We got out like 11:30, quarter to 12. I got to find a place where I can get in and out in an hour. You're looking for a dry cleaning service. I know where they are. You get in the presence of God. Stay as long as it takes. They endured it for a while. Hang on now. This fits Julie. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word. I don't believe what a whole bunch of other people believe in the world. God made Adam and Eve. And he told them to multiply and replenish the earth. Anything else is a bold-faced lie from the pit of hell. But it's a law. It's the law of man. It's not the law of God. The Bible says he gave them up. Say, he gave them up. All that means in the Greek language is he stepped aside. He just stepped aside. And when he stepped aside, they could go ahead and do whatever they choose to do. God's the barrier. The word becomes the barrier. Say hallelujah. Persecution because of the word. I'm persecuted because of what I believe in, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm not changing my, oh my God. They immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble off and fall away. I'm not going to let that happen to me, and if you're going to this church, I'm not going to let it happen to you. Verse 18, then the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Pastor, that was just a wonderful message. I finally did that one day in the old movie theater. Pastor, your message was wonderful. I said, what did I preach? I don't know, but I was blessed by it. If somebody makes food, I know what it tastes like, and I'm going to go back for more. I'm such a frequent flyer at the diner. I walk in, they say, you want the usual? Yeah. And if I tell them, no, I'm going to do something else, they panic. Oh, my God. The usual, when I get the word of God, I'm expecting the usual. I'm expecting the word of God to come alive, jump on the inside of me, and transform me. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm serious about this book. Hallelujah. I can't make you get serious about this book or anybody watching here. I'm telling you, it's the time that we get serious about the word of God. Amen. Things are going to happen around us. Things are going to be said. We can believe all that stuff. Or we can take the word of God, which is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The truth will always stand all by itself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Pastor, if you lighten up a little bit, more people would come. I don't want religious people. I want people that are hungry for God, that when the word of God is opened up, they raise their hands and stand up and say, Pastor, give us some good food for today. And then I'm going to teach you in the classroom of life how to get it yourself. See, it's time. When a woman's about ready to give birth, it's time. Then there's some that are sown along the thorns. They'll hear the word. Look at verse 19. Then the cares and anxieties. Is there any shortage of cares? I don't like when people say, be careful, Pastor. I said, no, I'm not full of care. Because that's what that means. Be careful. No, I'm not full of care. Bible says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. I have a busy week this week, some things I want to do and other things I don't want to do. I'm saying, God, you order every day in my life and orchestrate every step. Say glory to God. Can you do that? I just told you I do. Because the promises are in the book. I'm just tapping on to the resources of the word. Say the resources of the word. If I asked you for $100, do you have it on you? Who has $100? You do. So if I asked you for $100 and you knew it was the Spirit of God, would you give it to me? Yes, you would, because he has it. All God wants is what we have just to freely give it to him. But if you guys didn't have it, the Holy Ghost may speak to you and say, I got to get $100 next week so a pastor asked me I have it. It's not about the money. It's about the obedience to what God says to do. Amen? So sit in the front row next week. I may need you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anxieties of the world. Is there any shortage of anxieties? Bible says be anxious for nothing. So what should the believer do? Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. What's nothing mean? That's one of those words when you look it up, you know what it means? Nothing, honey. Here's the next one. And distractions of the age. We have more distractions than we could possibly believe. And the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving, passionate desire for other things creep in. Did you ever see a bug get into your house and it creeps along the wall? I have these little traps that are sticky. I put them around my bedroom and other places so it catches those little, I don't know why God made those things, and it sticks them in there. And when I go pick it up and they're dead, I do not have a funeral. They choke and suffocate the word. The enemy will do anything and everything to suffocate this word. If you're going through a health issue and you're not seeing anything in the way of healing being manifested, he wants to choke and suffocate the word. So what comes out of our mouth instead is, well, I guess God doesn't still heal today. What a lie from the pit of hell. I know the word of God too well to know it's a lie, and I say it right back to him. In Jesus' name, he's my healer. He's my restorer. Well, you know there's no hope for your marriage. Who said so? God will restore anything. My marriage, my children, he'll restore anything because I speak the word of God by faith out of my mouth, and I'm expecting it to come alive. I'm expecting the promises of God to come alive. I'm expecting the promises of God to come alive. Glory. I said glory. Glory. You don't mind me, you went through a difficult, difficult time. Long time. We talked many times, you and your wife and me with you privately. And there came one point where you left and went to another church because that may be able to help you. Then you came back here. You are a changed man. God healed your marriage, restored your marriage, restored the relationship with your father. And if I'm right, can I say this? You drove him down to Florida in a car, the same one he was in. And you wouldn't be in the same room with him. That's a supernatural healing power. God! Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? See, there's unbelief because some people just don't believe the word. But then there's unbelief in the body of Christ because we know God can do things, but we doubt it whether or not he can use us to get it done. Bold-faced lie. Say bold-faced lie. Bold-faced lie. Listen, if you and I have enough of the truth on the inside of us, when somebody speaks a lie, no, that's not true. And other people saying, yeah, that's right. No, it's not. Because the word rises up on the inside of you and speaks against lies that are perpetrated by man. It's time. It's time, Harvest Church. It's time. No more dragging behind at the end of the line. No more sitting in the back of the church in case I have to leave early. Don't leave early. Sit in the front and I'll make the service longer just for you to see you squirm a little bit. There's no music playing. Nobody laying hands on you. I'm just going to say it this way to you. If you're serious about God, this is not judgment on you or on me, but God has an expectation. Remember 2020? We have an expectation that his word is true. He has an expectation that we're going to live out the word. He says, those that love me will keep my commandments and obey them. It's time. It's time. It's time. What I'm going to do simply is this. First of all, ask anybody here, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, have your neighbor look at you and ask him, do you ready to meet God? Are you ready for eternity? You know heaven's your home. Go ahead and ask them. Would you like Jesus to come into your life and change you? Go ahead, ask somebody. If while you're standing up, come on. If you find somebody, walk the aisle with them. If you find somebody, walk the aisle with them. They want to give their life to Christ. It's not religion. It's not about going to a church, big church, small church, so many times a year. It's about a personal, say personal, relationship with God. When you say, I do at the altar, that's the beginning of marriage. Then you have to develop personal relationship with your spouse and then your children if you so want them. You understand? That's the beginning. Asking Christ is the beginning. Anybody here that would like to receive Christ? Okay, we're going to do two things quick. If you're serious about the Holy Ghost, you're serious about the Word of God in the beginning of this brand new, listen, year and decade, I want you to come to the altar and tell God you're serious and he can count on you. He can count on you. Say when he speaks, say, I'll answer him. No more church as usual in my life. No more the ordinary and the mundane. Then come up here and talk to God. however long it may take you. And while I'm doing that, listen, this altar is open anytime I'm preaching, anytime the church door is open. You could spend the whole service time at this altar praying and asking God to help you. These altars are always open. I said these altars are always open. They're always open. No music, no choir, but the Holy Ghost is leading this altar call. It's time. It's time. My time has come. My time has come. Can I tell you the heart of God is glad today because he knows your hearts. It's not just about you standing here as a person, but he sees the person of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And he knows that you know you can ask the Holy Ghost for help. You can ask him for help anywhere along the journey, and he will be there to help you. He'll be here to strengthen you, give you whatever you need to get the job done on a daily basis. Don't go outside of today. Live in the precious moment you're in. Don't jump into tomorrow because you'll rob, the Bible says, today of its strength. Go into tomorrow when it shows up. Go into the next day when it shows up. Don't be full of anxiety. Don't be full of this and that. Know that God's got a plan for your life. And if you put him first and foremost every single day, he will speak to you. He will speak to you supernatural things. He will speak to you things that are beyond anything you've ever dreamed or hoped for. But God is saying, I'm going to place that joyful expectancy on the inside of you that your life cannot go on like this anymore in the realm of the Spirit. There's got to be a change. Some of you are wandering around in the wilderness of your life. You're wandering around. God took care of the shoes on the feet of Israel. The shoes never wore out in 40 years. I just bought a pair of sneaks. In 6 months, I got to get a new pair. Well, what's in the natural is not in the realm of the Spirit. You walk on desert sand that's gritty. You walk on the hot desert sand for 40 years, you're going to wear something out. But you can't wear your shoes out because you can't wear God out. He loves you. He cares about you. And he's going to take care of you every day with manna from heaven. As you seek God first, whatever your schedule may be, you'll seek him first. You'll take the time with him that's necessary. You'll take communion with him every day. And in remembrance, take what represents his broken body. And then take that little bit of juice and say, your blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Today is about being serious. It's about being serious. Don't look about the person next to you and wonder why they're here. God's wondering why you're here. Be concerned about yourself right now. When this service is over, don't go to somebody and say, gee, what were you up there about? It's none of your business. This is between you and God. Not you, your wife, and God. Not you, your husband, and God. It's not you and your children. It's individual right now. It's individual right now. God is transforming some of you. How many of you know something's going on right now as you're standing there? I sense the presence of God. My God, I cried a bucket full in my office. He said he was going to move by his Spirit. Supernatural. Supernatural. Hallelujah. I brought money in my pocket to give away. And then my brother Dan, who's always, always serving, walks up and gives me money because God spoke to him to be a part of it. I'm prepared. But then God wants to give us more. Like when Marie Sarantino had not enough food to feed all these kids, she laid hands on them and she said, like the loaves and the fishes, and they had more left over than when they started. What's the priority? Now take the deposit and let it earn interest for you as you walk out of this place. Say this with me and then we're going home. I'm definitely going to find people and make them talk to me. Can I tell you how you do it? Open the door. Somebody's going to say thank you. You say, you're welcome. Are you a Yankee fan? That's all you have to do.